readings from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Do you think she knew the moment she heard the news foretelling of a little one that would come into her life, that everything would change forever? Do you think she had an inkling of how dramatically different life could be? Life would be. Imagine, she was just a girl, powerless. She had barely anything to call her own. And then the news came, and there was hope of something more. Soon there would be someone else to love, someone to care for, someone to make a difference in her life. But in that moment, she had no idea what kind of difference that kid could possibly make. From that moment onward, the trajectory of life would change. She would no longer be trapped in her small village. No longer would she be a forgotten face, just another impoverished nobody. She would be somebody. And her rise to near royalty, she'd take her entire village with her. She would be their symbol of hope. This gift would change her life forever. She would be the first of countless lives to change. Perhaps she felt a little skeptical at first. Could she actually handle it all? Another mouth to feed? Would this actually be good for her? For her family? Perhaps it would just be one more burden they'd have to deal with. After all, they'd already had to deal with so much. Life wasn't easy for her. And young girls had it harder than most. She had pitched in to run the household her whole life. So that day, when the news came, she stood at the well and contemplated her fate. Confused? Yeah. Skeptical? Sure. But ultimately, she found herself excited. She was filled with joy. There she stood at the precipice of her new life, pregnant with possibility. She imagined the days and years to come, but even in all of her imaginings, she could have never predicted the way life would go. How could she have? It was all so new, uncharted territory. On that day, a girl learned of a bundle of joy she would cradle in her arms, something so small, so vulnerable, so tender, would ultimately give her everything, more than she could have ever dreamed of having. Her world changed that day, but it would take 6 years to discover all of the gifts that would be hers. They would overflow from that one gift. The news that foretold of the coming of the one could never have prepared her for all that would come. Yes, Mugisa changed Beatrice's life. A goat did that. The greatest gift she would ever receive was a coarse-haired, head-butting, hungry, big-eyed bundle of joy. Oh, you thought I was talking about Mary, the young girl who learned of the news of her pregnancy, that she would welcome a bundle of joy that would transform her world and ours with it. The two have a lot in common, though, don't they? Mary, a first-century girl living in the small village of Nazareth, and Beatrice, a 20th-century girl living in that small village of Kasinga. They're not so different, after all. Both come from families struggling to make it. Both face the challenge of their gender. Neither live in an industrialized society. Their lot in life meant they couldn't have the privilege of education. Both were essentially invisible until a gift changed their lives. One, the Son of God. The other, a goat. Well, some people call Jesus the Lamb, so am I that far off? Actually, while it might look like a stretch, we can see how it appears to the world to be something so minimal, so mundane. A baby born to a teenage mother and a goat given to a third-world child could actually change the world. And yet it's easy to see how we might just dismiss them both, not bothering to give a second thought. Of course, now from our perspective, 2,000 years later, we recognize the importance of Jesus' birth. We romanticize it, dress it up a bit, conflate the two stories of Matthew and Luke. But the truth is, if we look at the Gospels, idealism can be put aside because both demonstrate how dismissed Jesus' birth actually was. Hardly anybody paid attention. If it hadn't turned out that Jesus turned out to be who he was, it would never have been worth reporting. Unwed mother gives birth in barn. Who cares? God. God cares. And something extraordinary happened. She was given a gift, that little bundle of joy. She and her baby returned to their poor village in Nazareth with her fiancé, or husband, depending on which gospel you're reading. But life was still hard. They were still poor. She was pretty much still a nobody. And yet, the changes that came with the arrival of this little baby had already begun. The same goes for Beatrice. We might romanticize her village life in Africa, the hard, packed dirt floor, the girls gathered together, weaving mats or balancing water jugs upon their heads, the bright colors and the hot sun. But let's face it, like Mary, she was just another girl, a bit younger, but invisible just the same. Breaking news, there's a poor girl in Africa. Who cares? God? God cares. And something extraordinary happened. Her gift arrived, the gift of a goat. Its journey from God to her might not have been quite as direct as the story of Mary's gift of Jesus, but God worked through children on a different continent, through an organization of people, and that goat was purchased. And Beatrice's bundle of joy was delivered. Ultimately, it became her deliverance. It changed everything. Suddenly, she and her family had milk. They had a source of income. And with that came enough money that Beatrice could go to school. And Beatrice went to school. She didn't know how to read or write. She couldn't do math. I don't even know if she spoke English. But that 10-year-old had a dream. Oh, how she had dreamed of the classroom, that meager dirt floor, one-room classroom that held all of the hope of her little world. She excelled. Wouldn't you know it? Her hard work paid off. She'd sell Mugisa's milk, and all day long she'd study hard. She not only learned how to read and write, she earned herself a chance at school in the United States. Beatrice received her goat in 1991, and in 2008, she received her degree. A graduate of Connecticut College, Beatrice is no longer invisible. See, the Christmas story is about a gift. The gift of a baby. It might even be about the gift of a goat. Because after all, the story of Christmas is the story of giving. Giving love, birthing hope, igniting peace, experiencing joy. God gave Mary the gift of that baby. And through the children of the Niantic Community Church in Connecticut, who raised money to buy goats for African children in Uganda, God gave Beatrice her goat. One Christmas miracle, Jesus. The other Christmas miracle, Beatrice. But it seems to me the miracles haven't stopped there, because after all, God keeps giving. God made Mary the vehicle, and working through her, her bravery and fearlessness, her will and her faithfulness, her gratitude and her joy, God made a miracle happen. God finds vehicles for giving, vehicles for miracle making, every step of the way. In Mary, in Joseph, in Jesus himself, in those Sunday school children who wanted to give a gift and make a difference. And the amazing people at the Heifer Project, in Mugisa, the goat, and in Beatrice. God's giving knows no ending. God's miracles just keep coming. Well, the miracle, it didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't begin there and end there too. It's not just a story that we read. We aren't mere observers. We don't just get to close the Bible and assume that the story is over, an ancient miracle for an ancient people. We're a part of the story. We are a part of the miracle. We make Christmas happen. It happened for Mary and Jesus and Beatrice and Mugisa, and it's going to happen again for you and me. God gives to us, and God gives through us. There's a girl out there, somewhere, invisible to the world around her, but never invisible to God. She won't be invisible to us anymore either. God gives us the gift of eyes to see the miracles among us, and God gives us the opportunity to be a part of the miracle making. In our giving, we let God work in us. In our giving, we make Christmas happen. So that's today's challenge, to give more. To give more of ourselves, to give our gifts of time, to give our gifts of creativity, to give our gifts of goats and pigs and scholarships, to give the gift to make a world a better place, to give our heart, to give our love. Lives can change. Lives in Africa and Guatemala and right here in the United States. It could be your life that changes. Your life can change. Your family's lives can change. Our church can change. We can conspire together to experience the miracles Christmas offers. Christmas should never be about anxiety. It should be filled with joy. So let's decide that we are not going to get all caught up in the stress of the season, but we're going to remember the reason for the season, a bundle of joy that transformed the world and can and will transform us if we let it. Amen.